This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
Call them every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And yes, it is. It's Friday. The Friday right before Memorial Day. We've got all the trimmings on this Friday. We've got Mets conversation and Yankees conversation and Aaron Boone getting tossed from a game once again. Oh, and by the way, we have the morning roast. Oh, and by the way, we will enter two people into the big sweepstakes to have a chance to win Rick's gorgeous Ford Bronco. And this portion of the show, driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford Group, in the Northeast, huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. Rick, good morning to you as we get ready for Memorial Day weekend.
Good morning, David. Speaking of the gorgeous, and I mean gorgeous, brand new Ford Bronco that I'm just babysitting right now. For the first time since getting it on, what did I get it on, Tuesday? I got the good old-fashioned...
You got a ticket.
No, Ford Bronco Wave. Sitting at a light, waiting to turn left.
What is it? What does that mean?
Because I guess there's this, like, you know, if you drive a Jeep or like you drive a motorcycle, someone drives by, they give you like the wave and you got to wave back.
No, I've never had a Jeep, but I've never
had a
motorcycle.
There's a Bronco Wave? Hang on. This is
a Bronco Wave.
This is
I didn't know. I was caught off guard. I got the wave. Guy rolled his window down and waved.
Why? Wow. Why? Okay. Did he have tinted windows?
I don't know if he had tinted windows. Maybe he
just
had his window
down. Why on earth would he roll down the window to wave?
The window was down. I don't know. I didn't have my windows down.
I think the window was already down.
It must have been. It was like the Willie Mays Hayes. You know, Willie Mays Hayes rolls into camp and he comes with his hand out the window?
Yeah, but I'm confused by this. If the window was down already and he waved, fine. You just said he rolled down the window to wave, and that would be very bizarre in a see-through window.
Well, I assume that he rolled the window down because I didn't have my window down. It wasn't nice. It didn't feel nice enough to have the window down.
Now,
but
when he started waving at you, did you roll your window down or press the button so the window goes down so you could re-wave to him or say something to this man?
No, I didn't know. No, I waved. I put the hand up, but I had no idea that there was a Bronco Wave, so I didn't know.
Well, how do you know it's a Bronco Wave? I mean, in actuality, he could have just waved. He saw the beautiful car, waved. He saw, God. That's the man that was the number one pick in the entire NHL draft. Let me give him a wave. Wait a minute. Does that man take money from others? That could have been the wave. You don't know why he waved.
Bad guy.
A terrible guy. It was a Bronco wave.
How do you know?
Get it.
How do you know?
But you wouldn't get it.
I wouldn't get it because I don't have a Bronco because All-American Ford doesn't set me up with a gorgeous new Bronco. That's right.
Yeah, it was the Bronco wave. I stand by it. And now I'm just saying now I know that there's a Bronco wave because I knew about the motorcycle wave. Got to give like the hand down a little wave. Hey, what's up?
What's the motorcycle wave?
There's a motorcycle wave.
If you're on a bike,
you drive by.
You see a guy on a bike.
Yep.
You know this, right?
Yes.
You know that there's a motorcycle wave.
I'm well aware that there's a motorcycle wave. I drive a Jeep, so I'm well aware that there's a Jeep wave. I didn't know there was a Bronco wave.
Yep,
so
Bronco wave.
That's interesting.
Raymond rides hogs.
Excuse me?
He's a motorcycle guy.
This is not my purview. And I don't mean to get too deep into the woods here, but I just got a text from a buddy of mine. He says, Fugazi wave. It's a Jeep thing, not a Bronco thing.
It is a Jeep thing.
Stay in your lane, Rick.
Shocking.
No, I understand. It's a Jeep thing. And I was with my niece who said, oh, hey, that's a Jeep thing. Must be a Bronco thing.
It feels elitist.
Because Bronco is... No, it's not elitist.
It feels
Jeep elitist?
Listen, I don't know. I mean, the fact that it's like, oh, you're driving a Jeep. I'm driving a Jeep. Let me wave to you. It's weird. You know what? I don't know that I'll ever buy a Jeep because of that. I don't want randos waving at me on the streets.
No, Raymond does it. Raymond drives a Jeep.
It's a sense of camaraderie.
Yeah, like we love outdoor adventures. We drive Jeeps.
Raymond. So, Ray, when you pull up to another Jeep and you start waving?
No, that's not how it works.
What do you mean?
If you just drive past ones, you're just supposed to, like, you know, raise your hand, actually raise a couple fingers if you're on the steering wheel, and That's it. It's just a very, very quick acknowledgement, and you go about your day.
By the way, Rick, today's the anniversary of a very special moment on the show.
I can't wait for it.
Obviously, the reason I'm here today. It's Memorial Day, guys. Listen, the saying is, some gave all, some gave all, obviously.
Yeah, that's if you remember back to the olden times, that's the very famous saying. Some gave all, obviously.
The olden times of last year.
Well, I'm just saying, if you remember back to like the Civil War and, you know, World War One, World War Two. It was always some gave all, and some gave all, obviously.
I'll try to do better on Monday, since I'll be here.
Braveheart would have had a completely different ending if Raymond was William Wallace.
Right?
Remember, guys, fight hard, because some gave all.
And some are about to give all again.
Obviously.
Obviously. Now go get him. And let me send you off with a Bronco wave. You go get him, guys.
You got to do the head thing. Obviously.
Yeah. Obviously.
Who wants a free refill?
You really are.
Who wants a free refill?
Yeah. Obviously. 1-800-919-3776. So
no refills. Oh.
you quit on that so hard.
Oh my god. It's even worse now.
You quit on it so hard, right? You couldn't have just said, you know what? I'm gonna.
I feel like that would have been worse. No.
No, I don't have it. But like you know what? I'm gonna own it.
That's more of a quit.
It was a big time quit. All right. So what do you want to do? You want to start with the good, or you want to start with the bad?
I think we start with. I mean, listen. You were nervous going into yesterday's game for what reason?
How could you not be?
Well, we all were. I mean, we lost the first two of the series, and we didn't love the idea that now chances to get swept, and you have come here, my little cookie, on the mound.
Right.
But he was great.
He was good.
I mean, once you get him out of the first inning.
Come here, my little cookie. And they scored runs, which is nice.
And they scored a first run inning for the second time in their last 18 games.
All right. Clip that, please.
Why?
A first run inning?
A first inning run.
So, yes.
Damn it. You know what I meant. You know what I meant.
That goes with a three-game hit.
Homer, first ever three-game hit as a Met.
Or five row.
So let's start with the Mets then. I mean, that's a delightful win. It's a tidy win. Alonso with another home run. Just, you know, Carrasco was good. Didn't have to burn the bullpen. You go into now a series where you start with Scherzer and Verlander. I know you lost two or three, but at least, thankfully, you ended on a very high note last night.
No, that's exactly what they needed. Listen, first two games didn't go the way that you wanted them to go, and Carrasco is somebody that we have questions about, and he showed up in a big way. Like I said, I mean, if you look at some of his splits, he gets past the first inning. Like he struggles in the first inning, but once he settled in, gave up another run, a home run in the first inning, to go 6 2/3 to protect the bullpen. Listen, at this point of the season, like at this point of where we're at with the pitching staff, he's important.
Very important.
If he can figure it out.
And he doesn't have to be great. Just be decent. And again, you talked about it yesterday on the show, how many quality starts they have on the season. He gave you a big-time quality start last night.
Yeah, this team, if they have their starting pitcher go six-plus innings, which hasn't happened a lot, they win games. I'm not sure they've lost the game when that happens. But, yeah, like the team is built to have really good starting pitching. And you're right, it doesn't have to be – Carrasco doesn't have to be great. Just give yourself a – just give the team a chance.
That's exactly right. Here is Buck Showalter, who says he's encouraged by Carrasco's performance last
command and the – you know, you can see it in his body language and everything. He felt good about himself physically. I thought he did last time. That's why he was so frustrated. So that was good to see. We all know what he could mean to us and has last year. So to get that contributing like we know he can would mean a lot to our pitching staff.
Huge. Because let's be fair. You don't love the pitching staff right now. You love Verlander. You're concerned – maybe optimistic, but you're concerned, I think, about Scherzer. Senga is a guy that walks the ballpark. I mean, that's got to calm itself down. McGill, you don't like whatsoever. And then if Carrasco's not good, you don't love your staff at all. If he's decent to good, you're in much better shape.
Yeah, absolutely. But you don't love your staff. And on top of that, when you don't love your staff and you're not getting any length from your starters and your bullpen is good, not elite, Like the depth of the Mets bullpen is not great. It's not the Yankees bullpen. Right? Like Robertson's good. You like Drew Smith, Ottavino.
I don't love Ottavino, but okay, I get your point.
So I'm eliminating one from that. I'm just saying, like, if that's gonna be an issue where you don't get length from your starting pitching,
you're right.
It'll start exposing your bullpen. which you don't want. And I think what you saw in the third inning was kind of a lot of what you saw last year. This is not a team outside of Pete, who you mentioned, 19th home run of the season. Like, the man was built to hit home runs. That third inning where they string together four straight two-out hits, score three runs. Like, that's the offense that you saw last year, but it's not easy to do that, to string together four hits like that. You load the bases in the first, you end up only scoring one run. Right? Brett Beatty had a nice night. The whole Daniel Vogelbeck thing, to the point where it's not just us. Okay, so here's the thing.
I saw this tweet.
Yeah, so it's easy as a fan or someone that hasn't played. Right? I think that's part of the disconnect between athletes and fans sometimes. You guys don't get it. Like J.J. Redick said it to Stephen A. Smith on Stephen A. Smith's show, by the way. You wouldn't get it, Stephen. You never played. Like, that's usually, like, if you get an athlete angry enough, that'll be the retort is, you don't get it, you never played.
Which I think can be a ridiculous thing to say.
Awful. Awful. That's just because you
so then how many people really in the grand scheme of things can talk about sports then?
Well, that's right. So, but that's like, if you get someone, you know, if you get an athlete really angry and they really have nothing left in the chamber, that's what they'll use. That's like the trump card. Jose Reyes with a tweet last night. I'm not sure if Vogie understands this concept, but you have to swing the bat to hit the ball.
Right, with the emoji of like the hand over the face.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Well, he's not wrong. I'm telling you, when they come back to Citi Field, I don't understand why they keep playing him.
That's what I don't get. I keep telling you that. I don't understand. Usually in situations like this, there has to be some kind of when the player's not playing well and you don't have, this is not a guy you drafted. This is not a guy that's been here or that you've won with. This was a guy that you picked up at the deadline last year that wasn't good when you picked him up at the deadline and didn't help you make a run through the playoffs or anything. So there's no, I mean, why is there this incentive or this push to play this guy?
I have no idea. And it's not like what does he add? Really? Like, nothing. Take a step back. You're a fan of another team. You don't even like the Mets. What, he doesn't hit for power at all. I mean, I guess he has a good eye, but are you going to play the guy every single day when you might have better options because there's a player that has a good eye?
Well, no, he's got a good eye, but he can't run.
He can't run. He doesn't hit for power. He doesn't hit for average now.
Doesn't play defense. Yeah. I mean, we've gone over this.
I don't understand why there's this major allegiance to him.
But I'm telling you, that I don't get it. So it's either, and I can't imagine it's Buck just loves the guy or loves the fact that he's got a good eye and doesn't swing the bat. Like, I don't get that, or he doesn't want to play a young player.
What do you love about him? I love the fact he doesn't swing the bat.
He doesn't swing the bat. Like, the only thing that makes sense is that Billy Epler traded for him, and that's why he's playing.
That's what bad managers do. And I don't mean Buck. I mean, like, bad managers on any level. You make a mistake, instead of cutting ties or admitting, listen, I messed up. I made a mistake. I'm not going to run it back just because I made this mistake. You know, just because it was me that made the mistake. You move on.
Yeah, that would make the most sense, especially if you have a young kid sitting on the bench that was absolutely tearing the cover off the ball in AAA. Like, Vientos needs to be down playing every day or up here playing regularly.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, if you had a business and you had an employee that just wasn't good, would you just roll him out there every day because you spent the time to hire him and bring him in and you personally brought him in? Or would you say, you know what, let me cut ties, let me move on, give him very minimal work, and let me bring someone in who's better? Or you know, in actuality, you have someone ready to go who might be better.
Well, I think that's a different, that's not the right question to ask, though. It would be if I managed the place and my boss hired the person. And then the boss was putting pressure on me to let the guy work because he brought him in.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I'm right with this, but I would think a lot of teams that could be legitimate, and maybe it is with the Mets too. I gotta think that Buck has enough authority; he can say, "I'm not playing this guy anymore."
Okay, but why? So what is it then?
I'm not kidding. I don't know. I can't
sit
here and put my finger on it.
So Buck doesn't see what we see. So Buck has a blind spot for Daniel Vogelbeck.
I don't know.
Like, he's gonna get it. He's gonna figure it out.
Yeah, at some point. Why would you anticipate this is gonna change?
I don't know why. You haven't, I mean, we went through his numbers in May. I mean, he was about 188 in May.
And it's not getting any better.
No, but it hasn't gotten any better since you picked him up at the deadline last year.
No, nor is it going to.
And no one was excited about it.
Nor is it going to. I'm at the point, I was thinking about this last night, I'm not going to freak out now. I will only freak out if it happens. And it can't happen. Like, I don't believe this can happen, which is sending down Alvarez. He's on base a ton. To have that guy hitting in the nine spot is a tremendous luxury. He's getting better and better and better. You know the pitchers love him. His teammates love him. I'm not even going to have this moment where before it happens I get upset. It can't happen. There's no way. And if it does, I will freak out. But I just don't believe there's any chance that they move on from him.
No, I think the reason why the conversation started was because, you saw Nito last night. And Narvaez is on his way back. So, I mean, the only one that has options that you won't lose is Alvarez. But I'm with you. I think every Mets fan feels the same way about that. Like, at least with Alvarez, too, you have the ability. I mean, once you feel comfortable with where he's at, right? Like, because, I mean, why Volpe was in the ninth spot or why Alvarez is in the ninth spot, because you don't want to put too much pressure on the kid. Just go out there and play. You know, whatever you bring to the table is a little extra. We'll be happy if you can contribute. Well, he has the ability, man. I mean, as he progresses here, like, to move him up that lineup.
Oh, yeah, I don't see him hitting ninth for long. No, that's absolutely true. All right,
yeah,
so
but
let's
the other
do this.
Two don't. I mean, what like offensively? What's the upside for the other two?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I mean, it could be nice. We'll see. I mean, it's exciting times.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We never hear the Beach Boys on the show.
Raymond's got such eclectic taste in music and versatility. The guy's the best.
He's very talented, isn't he?
And so people know, if you drive a Jeep and you see Raymond Santiago's beautiful face and you don't wave, he hates your guts.
Waving elitist,
it's not
is
wrong.
What you're saying?
It's not wrong. That's
really?
The opposite. It's the opposite. If you don't wave, you're an elitist.
So you see a Jeep and you're waving.
I'm generally raising the two fingers behind the steering wheel. Yes.
What does that mean, two fingers behind the steering
It gives
wheel?
The two, like the cool two fingers, like, hey, what's up?
Oh, so you're just very cool.
Laid back.
It's a laid back hello.
Yankees gear.
Yeah, that's right.
I might sneeze.
No, don't sneeze.
Don't sneeze.
Come on.
What do you say? Don't. I
please.
I
suck it back
on.
In. Suck it back in.
Hold your nose.
Bless
God.
You. Thank you. What is?
The,
oh God! I told you.
Hack.
Here's another.
I got. Listen, my allergies are bothering
me. I'll only
I got
say
more
it twice.
Coming.
Now see. I'll only say bless you twice because
you.
Then after that, there's no defending you.
What does that mean?
The
bless you.
The demons want you more than blessing can save you.
What are you talking about?
You can only
about?
Be blessed so much.
What do you mean the demons want me? I have to sneeze. I have allergies going on.
After like the second sneeze, Ray is saying you're making too much noise. Stop. That's what he's saying.
You know what? I'll just leave. Is that what you want? Really?
No, I don't want that. I can't have that. I just
so then I expect an individual.
Yourself.
I expect an individual. God bless you for every sneeze. Then.
Listen, you got your two.
Why?
That's all I'm saying.
What is the matter with you?
I think
You're
two's
be a
good.
Very strict parent.
No, I think two's good.
You imagine him It's 9:03. Bedtime was 9. Get me the belt.
Easy.
Whoa. Oh,
what do you mean?
That escalated.
What?
That's what he's going to be like.
No, he's not.
You don't know that.
I think I have a good idea. You can't. He's not going to do that.
After 2 sneezes, that's enough. You can continue sneezing. We're not going to acknowledge it, though.
Yeah, I'm not saying you can't sneeze. I'm just saying I'm not going to say bless you anymore. That's all.
Why does it stop at 2? I'm just wondering why the cutoff is 2 sneezes.
That's just for me. That's my preference.
That's your personal preference.
Yeah.
Now, is that a me thing or anybody? You're with someone.
Anybody.
It's a 5 sneeze. A 5-pack of sneezes after 2, you're out.
I'll give you 2. If you keep going, I'm probably going to stare impolitely at you until you're done.
Do you let them know that, like after 2, like I'm done, I will not bless you anymore?
Well, I just let you know, didn't I?
You let me know, but you know this is an on-air product. I don't know if everybody, like you're with your dad, he gives you the third sneeze. You're like, Dad, I'm sorry. I don't give a third sneeze. I don't give a third. God bless you.
It's a little different there, don't you think?
No.
It's his dad.
You made a point saying you stop at the second sneeze.
Yeah, generally I do.
Yeah, but for your people father, he doesn't respect.
I didn't say that.
Is that what it is? So if you don't respect them,
I didn't say that.
I'm reading between the lines.
Those were your words, not mine.
See? Dad loves and respects, gets every sneeze. Could be 5, 6, whatever.
Gotcha.
God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. You, not so much.
Dad could go on a sneezing bender, and he would get as many God bless yous as needed. Me, I go for a third, I'm out.
Out.
Well, how many think you'd get? You think if you gave a triple sneeze, you'd get 3 God bless yous?
I'd like to believe that, but I don't know. He probably doesn't want to just rub it in your face. So he probably just give me the 2, I think.
I'm sure. I almost guarantee you RJ would get a God bless you on 3.
Yep.
Right? The way the 2 of them are each other.
Yeah, it's gross.
Yeah, it kind of is. Let's go to the calls. 1-800-919-3776. Mike in Sayreville. Good morning, Mike. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Dave, Rick, how you guys doing?
Good. What do you got?
So, yeah, I want to touch on 2 things. First off, Vogelback, what are we doing? This guy's unplayable. And you know what made me mad yesterday? The whole lineup came out, I was mad. They pitch hit Vientos in the 9th inning with a position. So mad when that happened. That's like putting in your fat kid in high school with 2 minutes left in a blowout.
Well,
like,
how angry, Mike, can we really be this morning when the Mets win a game 10-1?
Mike, but you're already playing the fat kid.
No. I'm very happy they won. They needed to win. I'm thrilled. Great game. But, I mean, Vientos should be playing every day. If he's up and he's not playing, send him back down. What are you going to do? And then, so that's my first point. And secondly, Alvarez has quickly become my favorite Met because you can tell he puts in the work and really cares about getting better. He was, when he first came up, his defensively wasn't that good. And at the plate, he was very, very antsy. And that's totally changed. He gets better every day. So that was just my 2 points I want to make. It was a great win, but yeah, the Vogelback thing frustrates me, but Alvarez has been playing great recently.
He really has been playing great, and it's just, I'm sorry, there's no way. I almost don't even want to entertain it. The fans will revolt if they were to send this guy down.
Yeah, they can't. They can't. Narvaez isn't going anywhere, so if they have to lose, I mean, if they lose Nito, they lose Nito. Alvarez is your future anyway, and he's not wrong. I mean, I read you some of the quotes yesterday. This guy's at Citi Field at 1:30, breaking down tape. You know, trying to help his pitchers find some kind of edge. So, yeah, the fact that he stepped in and already earned the respect of a veteran pitching staff, and when you watch him at the plate, looks so much more comfortable. I mean, early on, even like last year too much pressure, but he was overwhelmed, trying to do too much. But
wasn't overly fair what they did to him either last year.
No, absolutely not. We've talked about that. But I just like, as a young player, I get it because, I mean, the hardest thing to do is establish yourself. And part of trying to establish yourself sometimes is you try to do too much. Like, you can't slow the game down because you're trying to do too much because you're so excited and you want to prove to everyone how good you are. And until you kind of take that step back and take a deep breath and realize the reason why I'm up is because of, like, for him is what I've done at every level. So just be that guy. I don't have to be something I'm not. Come up, be that guy, relax, do what I do, and that'll be good enough. But that doesn't happen right away.
But you're right, by the way, that, I mean, there's no way he's going to be hitting 9th for long.
No. No, he has what, like, he possesses what this lineup is missing, which is some actual power. I mean, that's why Vientos, I thought, was up, because he has that ability, too. And for some reason, they want to go with,
it's weird.
lefty versus righty. Come on, man. Like, the kid's up, he has to play. If he's not, send him back down, because you don't want to stunt his growth. This is about his development, too.
Here's Buck Showalter on Alvarez's emergence recently.
As slow as he started, you know, he's picked it up. You know, there was a time when everybody said it was too early, and now they're moving him up in the order. I know how it all goes, so he's doing a nice job. So we're proud of him for his age.
What is he talking about? Well, I don't understand why he always tries to poo-poo it. I don't know. Who was saying that it was too early?
I don't know. Buck says weird stuff.
Yeah, it makes me believe that he's the one that doesn't want to play the young guys when he talks.
Right? It doesn't feel like that's an Epler thing. That feels like it's a Buck Showalter thing.
It feels like a Buck thing when you hear sounds like that.
But he says that kind of stuff all the time. It's weird the way he diminishes the... I mean, this is the beginning of hopefully a big-time Major League Baseball career, and he always finds a way to poo-poo it.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, you're talking about somebody that's so highly regarded, I mean, as a prospect before he was called up. I mean, you looked at him last year as kind of like someone that could step in and try to save you, which you mentioned is way too much pressure and didn't have success. And I don't think, did you hear one person complaining that it was too early to bring up Francisco Alvarez?
No. People were clamoring for Alvarez.
And I mean, it sucks that those guys got hurt, but I mean, they got hurt. He stepped in. I remember saying at the time that this was a blessing. This could be a blessing in disguise for the Mets, because now Alvarez was going to have a chance to actually go out and play. And give the kid credit, man. I mean, he's taken full advantage of the opportunity.
He's been terrific. And you can tell. I mean, he was the number one prospect in all of baseball. Not in the Mets farm system, in all of baseball. And typically, listen, there's always exceptions to the rule. Typically, those guys pan out to be really, really good. And right now, you can see why he was the number one prospect in all of baseball.
Yeah, here's the thing I don't like, and I hope this isn't happening, because you can tell he's got a lot of confidence, that he's a confident guy, the way he celebrates after big plays, big hits.
Right.
Like, don't try to beat that out of him. Like, that's what makes him him. Like, I mean, that's what separates him, is that belief in himself.
I hope they don't do that.
Like, that quote afterwards is like, I mean, it feels like you're trying to, like, temper that a little bit when, I mean, if this is who the kid is, don't start chipping away from that confidence.
No, I like that. I like the emotion and the passion that they play with.
Yeah, I mean, I like that juice, but I also know, like, having lived through it, like, because I was that same kind of guy, that when you have veteran guys, like, kind of chipping away from that and coaches chipping away from that, I mean, it can have a real negative effect.
You know what was nice last night, too? The Marte hit.
Dude, he's so important to this lineup, man.
Yep.
I mean, when you think what he brings to his ability to steal bases and everything else.
He really is. I think that's one of the big differences from last year to this. He was great last year, and he's been, let's be frank, he's been not so good this year.
Yeah, he got off to a slow start. He is vital. You saw it last year when he was hurt.
Yeah, he is a huge, huge loss.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
A nice weekend and a reflective weekend as well. You have any good plans this weekend?
Any good plans this weekend? No.
Do you have any plans at all? Or is this
to relax?
Really? Does the pool open this weekend?
Pool is open, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, pool is open. Probably do some mulching. I got a half a pallet of mulch left, so I'll probably finish up the mulching.
That's what they call like a packet of mulch, is a pallet?
No, I got a pallet. So I got, there's bags of mulch.
Right.
Master Mulcher?
I think the pallet has, I want to say 140 bags on the pallet. I don't know, maybe that's a lot.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's like a big, so they bring it up with the forklift.
140 bags?
In the pallet, I think. It might be 140, yeah. I don't know how many exactly.
And you have
No, 70. 70. So I think 70 on each pallet, maybe.
And you have half a pallet?
Oh, I had two pallets. I have half a pallet left.
You had 140 bags of mulch on your property?
Yeah.
What's going on?
What do you mean? How much have you got to go? I go heavy with the mulch.
Clearly.
Well, what happens usually is they come with a big they come with a big truck and just dump a big giant pile of mulch, and then they have the shovels and the wheelbarrows, and they put it in the and then they walk it around, as opposed to when I do it myself. That way I can carry the bag over to where I want to put
it. Open it up and dump the mulch.
Right.
It feels, I don't know, RJ, would you agree 140 bags feels like an excessive amount of mulch?
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
It's very clear you've never done anything like this.
Ever.
140 is a lot compared to the average home, but when you right. kind of scale it to Rick's home.
You know, forget it. I really, forget it. Why do you have to take shots at me? I've told you I've never mulched.
Yeah, well.
You're a mulcher?
I'm surprised you, of all people, aren't taking the opportunity. Like, yeah, he needs all that mulch, because when you consider the size of the property, I mean, I'm sure that was low-hanging fruit for you.
You don't do it, but I'm sure the front of your home looks nice, mulch or not.
The mulch looks lovely, and I noticed that they did a mulching recently, but I guarantee you it wasn't 140 bags.
No, not 140 bags. I bet you it was, I don't know, 50, 60, 70?
No, stop it.
Yeah.
I bet you paid money for the mulching, too. Big money.
Yeah, you have a lot of money.
I don't have as much money as him.
That's irrelevant, though.
It's not irrelevant.
Are you sure about that, though?
I'm 100% sure.
I think there's 75 bags on each pallet.
You don't know. You started with 140,
I'm looking it up right now.
70, now you're 75.
Well, no, because this is what I think it was combined 140. So I think it was 70 on each, or 75 on each. So I went through the first pallet and a half, and now I got the rest of the mulch to put down.
And that's going to happen this weekend.
Surprisingly. I'm like an artiste.
Okay.
I am. I get down there on my knees with my hands, and I like sculpt it nicely.
All right. Either you're going to have to talk about mulch in this next read, or you're going to have to back up so I can do the read.
You can do the read.
Okay. ESPN New York has given you the chance to score an amazing road trip and travel with the home team. When New York visits Philadelphia, you and a guest could catch a game and enjoy round-trip train tickets, two-night hotel accommodations, and $200 in spending money. For official rules and to enter, visit the ESPN New York app and click on Travel with the Home Team, all brought to you by the engagement experts at London Jewelers. 1-800-919-3776. So the Mets start a three-game set in Colorado. And then it's home to Philadelphia. Let's start with the calls. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Lou in Manalapan. Lou, good morning, buddy. You're on 98.7.
Hey, Rick and Dave. All gave some gave all.
Obviously.
So I wanted, that's my favorite quote ever on the show's history. That was the greatest. But I wanted to go over what you were saying about Buck and Alvarez. Before the season even started, it seemed like Buck was trying to prepare Mets fans to not get excited about Frankie Alvarez. And I was confused, because if you have this number one prospect in baseball on some charts, wouldn't you want to bring that guy up and develop him? And obviously they made the right move eventually. And you know, that's obviously the change of the season so far. And it's similar to the Yankees. Once Volpe got going, they started kind of changing their ways a little bit, too.
Yeah, so, but they wanted Volpe, though. That was the difference, though. They wanted Volpe up. You're not wrong. That's exactly how I felt about it. It was only because of the injury that they brought Alvarez up.
And you hope that a manager, I like that about Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone is kind of, you know, even though Buck was for the guys, I want Buck to be for the kids as much as he is for his veteran guys. There's no reason why Daniel Vogelbach deserves a fair shot at playing every day. You know, the guy's embarrassing himself, and I know everyone calls about it. I've called already a couple of times this year about it, but it's a little ridiculous. And I wanted to say, I'm going to miss you guys on June 1. I can't get there.
Oh, come on.
Yeah,
Lou.
I have a bachelor party literally flying out on Wednesday. Originally, I was flying out that morning. I thought maybe I could swing by, you know, have a beer or two with you guys. But I'm missing June 1. If you guys want to come to my tailgate, it's June 17th. You want to come?
No. We're having the tailgate. I also have a bachelor party.
I'm going to Austin, Texas, man.
That's a great city.
All right, you got to go.
Yeah,
you
gotta go.
Make sure you stop by Franklin's.
But it's going to be where?
Franklin's, but you got to get there early. That's the barbecue place. That's the spot in Austin, Franklin's.
That is some city.
It's more than Terry Black?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Interesting, interesting. We're like 2 minutes by walk away from Terry Black.
Well, go there too, but Franklin's is the one. Franklin's is the one that you want to try.
All right. Okay.
Enjoy it, Lou. We'll talk to you. Thanks for the call.
And get some Torchy's Tacos too. Torchy's Tacos in Franklin's.
I was almost in Austin. Did you know that? Ever since
I had my buddy Pete's bachelor party was in Austin.
No. I almost was doing sports talk radio in Austin.
Oh, you would have loved it.
Loved it. So after Raleigh, I was looking for work, and I flew to a couple places. One of them was Austin. They put me up. They wined and dined me, and we talked the whole way through about, you know, a job, and then it didn't pan out. But you're this close to not having me.
It would have been perfect for you, too. Their whole motto is stay weird.
First of all, I think it's a great city. I don't think they're weird. Second of all, I'm not weird.
You got some...
I'm quirky, maybe. I'm not weird.
Well, kind okay, of. Whatever. However you want to define it.
And now they're going to play drops to just hammer home the point that I'm weird. They could do that about anybody on the show.
Give me your...
go ahead. Go through your laundry list of embarrassing noises and sounds and quotes.
Can I get the bumpkin, too, at some point? Thanks.
I'm no bumpkin!
I think that really sees
the deal. What else you got? Corey Davis, Corey Davis.
I'm taking the Panthers
big contract of Corey Davis. I like the clapping of the Corey Davis.
Austin's a great city.
Great city.
Just so Lou knows, too, Franklin's Barbecue, delicious.
I don't think I was at Franklin's.
Franklin's is the one. Remember the commercial? I forget what it was for. It was for some credit card or like whatever. But that was Franklin's Barbecue at that plant in the commercial.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Cass definitely, I mean, you know how she is with food. So she wanted to try it. So we waited. She actually waited in line, a long line. And then we got it. It was delicious.
Have you, I know you've been to Raleigh, obviously, for games and stuff. Did you used to dine in Raleigh? Like really go out and, did you ever go to the Pit?
I went to the Pit one time.
Oh,
delicious.
What a place that is. All right, I'm getting hungry. Let's get back to the calls. Let's go to Wes. We love Wes in East Hanover. Good morning, Wes.
Morning, fellas. Oh, good morning, fellas. Good morning,
Wes.
So I don't know if this is going to make any sense or not, so I'll try to connect all the bouncing balls in my head into one coherent thought, okay? So Alvarez batting ninth. We are saying that Showalter doesn't like to play the kids, which I think is potentially fair. But is it also possible that Alvarez, he works really hard because he puts so much pressure on himself to be the best, and nine gives him the best spot in the lineup to not have all the pressure put on him, but it gives the team a good pop at the bottom of the lineup and the ability to turn the lineup over. So I'm just curious about your thoughts about
that. Yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea. And again, you're right. It puts less pressure on him, and that's fine for now. And if this continues for a few weeks or a month or two, I think most people would be okay with it. If he's hitting 260 or 270 and he has legitimate, which we know he does, power, you just at some point, Wes, in my mind, you can't bat him ninth.
I don't disagree at all. I think you're exactly right. So, again, I'll go back to the Acuna when he came up. Everyone wanted him to bat fourth. So the year that his second season, we had him batting fourth. It was too much pressure on him. They moved him to the one hole back where he was playing his rookie year, and it got the lineup moving again. So I don't know if 4-5 where the spot is going to be for Alvarez, but he's got to find that home if you guys are truly going to click as an offense. And I think he's got the ability to do it. It's just when and where does he fit in the plans? And so, well, again, we're less than a week away. Can't wait to meet you guys. And so we'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, good stuff. You know what? For Wes to be a Braves fan and to call and be like, he's intelligent, he's engaging, he has good points. I like him very much.
Well, I love Wes. I think he's one of our best callers.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And he's got a terrific voice.
He's a beautiful voice. He's a Braves fan, but he's not like an obnoxious, disgusting Braves fan.
No, but that'll be put to the test as we get further along in the season here. I think right now he's feeling confident about his team. But then we'll see what happens.
Who were you rooting for last night, Braves or Phillies?
Braves.
Yeah. See, I don't mind that either.
I despise the Phillies. I hate the Phillies.
Well, not only that, it's like because Alex was like, why are you rooting for the – I was like, well, I don't really care who wins. But he was all, if, you know, Philly wins, we gain a game. I was like, you know what? If Philly loses, now they kind of start to fall out because they're having a terrible season so far. I'm fine with that as well.
Yeah, I just hate Philly. I mean, how about, listen, I love John, I love Torts, but I don't like Philly.
Oh, so I didn't tell you that. So you'll respect me. I think you'll respect me. Raymond will respect me. So we're going to the Link this weekend. The men's lacrosse Final Four is at Lincoln Financial.
Oh, nice.
I got all my Giant stuff all ready to go.
No, don't be that guy.
No, what do you mean?
Come on, man. You're 50 years old. Like, so don't what? Be silly. Just because you're going to a lacrosse game, you don't have to wear Giants gear.
Well, I like my Giant stuff.
You're the worst.
Why?
Because just being like an adult. You don't have to wear jerseys and stuff.
Firstly, and you know this by now, I'm not an adult. So why you would even suggest that is somewhat beyond me. And I have my beautiful Giants hat, a Giants t-shirt. If it gets chilly, a Giants sweatshirt. I have everything ready to go.
All right. I mean, you do it. Yeah, you do you. But, I mean, that's not really something that I'm a big fan of for you.
Why? You think someone's going to attack me?
It's Philadelphia. It's possible.
Right. It's possible. But why even, like, draw attention to yourself like that?
Well, this is, if I want to wear a hat, this is the hat that I like the best right now.
If that's the way you're going to go. You may as well go all out and like have Ben take a picture of you pretending to violate the stadium in some way.
It wouldn't be pretending.
Climb up a pole or something. Like, do something. Like, just to walk around in Giants gear for no reason. I mean, it's, come on.
I thought it was clever.
It's not clever. You're going, I mean, you're trying to find a college, a beautiful school for your son. And you're going to be walking around in Giants gear to be a jackwagon.
Well, that's not a jack wagon. That's my team. I want them to know, go into their stadium and be like, that's right, I will wear my Giants gear.
All right. So, if something happens, God forbid, you'll know why.
You think someone's just going to attack me?
Maybe.
They'll put Dave in the Link jail.
Why would I go in the Link jail? I'm not going to attack anybody.
All right. You got to do me a favor then. Here's the deal. Okay? Yeah. And I promise you, this will happen. If you get beat up or whatever, you get arrested, I'll come bail you out.
But there's no way.
I will. I'll drive all the way to Philly.
All right.
You got to try for me Angelo's in Philly.
Is that a cheesesteak place?
Cheesesteak and pizza.
Okay.
Please, you got to try it because I need to know how good it is. Because I'm thinking about driving there just to try it. I need to know if it's worth it.
Okay. Do you have any idea? Is that near the Link? I don't know Philly very well.
I will send you the address.
Okay. Angelo's, because I know the one people talk about all the time is Pat's.
No, this one is supposed to be the
better.
Yes, and their pizza is supposed to be amazing too.
Really?
Yes.
All right. And then I'll consume all the stuff, and the next week you'll talk about how fat I am.
No, I won't. Yeah. How dare you?
What do you mean? How dare me?
How dare you?
I'll make you a deal. I'll go there. I'll eat. I'll consume. If I do this, you are not allowed to make one heavy comment at all next week.
Deal.
And if you, every time you do, you have to give Raymond and RJ $25.
Done.
Great. Okay. I will send you photos from Angelo's, and every comment that comes my way about, oh, you're doughy, you're fat, you don't fit into that shirt, $25 right in their pocket, every single one.
Let me make sure the Venmo info is up to date.
Yep. You see what I do for you, Ray?
I send you Venmos. I know what your Venmo info is, you jack.
Yeah, we know what your Venmo info
is. I'm just making sure that it's up and running because there's no way that Rick is going to adhere to those rules. It's not going to happen.
So you love what I've done for you.
Listen, if he's going to commit to that, absolutely. I just don't know.
Yeah, he can't hold to that.
There's no self-control is what you guys are saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Let's go to Purple Belt Mike. Good morning, PBM.
Good morning. Shout out to the company. And Ray and RJ just became millionaires. So there's that.
Yeah, I think so too. Oh, so this place, Angelo's, cash only.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Wow.
It's probably good
when it's a cash only.
All right, PBM, what do you got?
I've never disliked my own player on my team ever, except I just don't like Daniel Vogelback. He brings nothing to the table. I don't understand why he's out there. I just don't get it. Buck's a good manager. I like him, but this is ridiculous. And to top it off, if Alvarez goes down too, I might blow a gasket. I don't understand. I don't get this. I know everyone's calling about Vogelback, but I hate watching him. My eyes bleed. I don't want to see him anymore. I don't want to see it. He sucks. I don't want to see it.
I don't think you're alone, Mike, and thanks for the call. And I think what he is quickly becoming, Rick, is our Aaron Hicks.
I think he's probably already there from the people that I'm friends with that are Mets fans and then everyone that calls into the show. I just don't get it. Here's the thing, though. I mean, I've had plenty of coaches that have just like that guy on a team that they love. And it's usually, here's the thing, though. It's usually somebody that they've coached before. Like it's someone like in football that they brought over from another team, like a guy, they always have their guys that they bring over.
Sure.
Or like there was coaches that I had that just like everything that they would talk about, how hard, blocking shots, all like this guy would always be that guy. So, you know, he curried favor with the coach. I don't know what the hell Daniel Vogelbach has done since he's been a Met that makes Buck want to play him every day. I don't get it.
It's very odd. It's very odd. It's perplexing, and you think that he has better options. You know, if he had no other options, you know, you're the Oakland A's, you have nothing else, you're the Kansas City Royals, you have nothing else. You say, all right, this is the best they have. They're hoping that this thing works out, and they don't spend money, so there's no one else they could throw in there. The Mets have guys that you're clamoring to see over this.
Yeah, I don't understand. And you got a kid sitting on the bench that shouldn't be sitting on the bench. Either he plays every day in AAA, or he actually plays five times a week here.
Yeah. I think that would be I want to see him at a minimum of five times a week.
Otherwise, you're doing yourself no favors, him no favors, and you're only going to just stunt his growth. It doesn't make any sense. It's like when these you know, idiot organizations in the NHL call guys up that are supposed to be like top six guys, and they bury him on the fourth line. They're like, wow, a guy just didn't produce. Well, how? He's not a fourth line guy. The guy's not a guy who's going to go hit people and block shots and fight. Like, what are you doing? I agree.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I hate to always go back to this. What does he provide you?
I don't know, Dave. I don't know. It's not, I mean, and again, he doesn't play defense. Like at least at one point, Aaron Hicks was playing, you know, really good defense for the Yankees. He doesn't play defense. He can't run. He has no pop, which at his size makes no sense. I don't know. Doesn't steal bases. I mean, tough to manufacture runs because he clogs the bases when he gets on.
It's very strange. I don't know. It's very strange. By the way, I had a misstep. There was a guy on hold I was going to get to, like, literally right now, and he vanished into the ether. He said, RJ, and RJ can help facilitate this. He said he used how many bags of mulch every time he mulches?
Three.
Yeah, three. So explain how a man uses three and you use 140.
Oh, maybe he gets a little cheap with his mulch. I like to really spread
it out.
No,
but come on. You, like him using 10 to your 15, sure. Three to your 140?
It's possible 140 is far too many. I mean, it's what fits Rick's yard. And three is just not that many.
You sound like you've done mulching in your life, RJ.
No, I mean, but one bag isn't going to cover, you know, that much space.
I think one bag says it could possibly, if you're getting, like, if you're trying to spread it out, could cover maybe 8 feet. There's no way I don't do 8 feet per bag. I probably use too much.
You over mulch.
Well, because I have to, because there's no sense of spending all that time doing it. And then all of a sudden they have people, like, they come with the blowers, the leaf blower, they're blowing the mulch all out of the beds. If I was chintzy with it, I had to yell at them. I'm like, I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah, but you have to think also, Rick is covering like acres of land.
Oh, yeah,
vast
no, it's palatial.
That's what I mean.
I don't want it, though, but that's the thing. I don't want it. I would rather live in an apartment.
Oh, stop it.
I'm not joking.
He's it's like a villa. His home is a villa.
Your home could have an apartment, like a separate apartment.
Do you have do you walk around the facility often and think, oh, I've never seen this before?
No.
Like, you're like, oh, a brook.
No, I walk around the facility
stream.
And I say to myself, oh, I need to fix this. Oh, this is broken. Oh, this is going to cost more money. And then occasionally there's some albino buck that just decides he wants to come in and eat my plants.
Ever been to the northwest corner of the property? This is beautiful. Never?
I want to know where that albino buck lives.
He probably lives in an area of the property you haven't been to in a while.
You think he has a home in the property somewhere?
Probably, somewhere.
I thought it was a goat at first.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.